Welcome to the Homebase Travel Agent Show. This is the final show for 2017. And I want to thank you all for stopping by and taking a listen to the Homebase Travel Agent Show. Lorraine and I really appreciate it. And I want to let you know this is show number 386. And we've been producing this show since 2005. And if you've been around since 2005, wow, a special shout out, a special thanks to you for being a loyal listener to the Homebase Travel Agent Show. And we are all about the travel trade, and our goal here is to bring you information that can help you grow your travel business, or information that is just kind of informative for you as a travel agent or someone who is interested in the travel business. Now, our show today, we're going to talk a little bit about the Arctic Circle. And did you know that 1.8 million people visit Alaska every year? And out of that 1.8 million, there's only 2% who cross the Arctic Circle. Now, this is a great opportunity to give your clients an experience that most people never get. And they can bring back some great stories and bragging rights, and they even get a certificate. A certificate that they've crossed the Arctic Circle. So stay tuned and listen, and hopefully you'll enjoy the upcoming interview segment of the show. But in the meantime, I want to let you know that we're a NACTA affiliate, the National Association of Career Travel Agents. We are an affiliate of theirs, and I want to thank them for allowing us to be affiliated with their great organization. And you can find them at NACTA, NACTA.com. Go over there and join up. It's a great organization for travel agents. If you want to drop me an email, you can do that at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. That's Barry at hometravelagent.net. And if you enjoy the show and you want to give us a little payback, jump over to iTunes. Find us in iTunes. You can do that by searching for the terms travel agent, and you will find us in iTunes and leave us a review. That would give us a little bit of payback for doing the show if you enjoy it. Well, I want to move on into the show, and I also want to wish everyone a happy new year, and I sincerely hope that you had a great holiday season, and may 2018 be your best year ever. So with that, I want to move to the show, so here we go.
This call is being recorded.
Isn't that a sexy intro? I got everybody freaked out. They're not talking now that we're being recorded, right? I'm going to edit this out.
Okay. I think you should keep it.
It makes us real.
In the light
of how human
the year has been.
Maybe I will keep it. So, anyhow, welcome everybody. We're here at the Homebase Travel Agent Show, and of course, the lawnmower service is just starting to go by here. Oh well, that happens. This is a podcast, so we're not in a formal studio, as you all probably know. But anyhow, we're on the interview portion of the show, which is primarily the show. And I want to welcome everybody, and I hope everyone has had a great 2017 and looking forward to the next year. This will be the last show for 2017. So we will welcome everybody to the new year at this time. So, and I hope it's a good one for you. We do have Lorraine with us today, and Lorraine is rather disaster prone, but we certainly love to have her with us and glad she's here, and hope 2018 is a better year for Lorraine. So I want to welcome you, Lorraine, and we do have a guest, and I'm going to let you introduce our guest.
Thank you, Barry. Yes, within the last week, I've had several of my friends imply they are going to wrap me up in bubble wrap and not let me out of the house. Gail reminded me that the last time I got off a plane, I came home to the Sonoma County fires. And this time I came home early because I was on the opposite direction of the Amtrak train that went out in Tacoma. I was heading from Portland to Seattle, and that one was going Seattle to Portland. So my phone was blowing up, literally from friends and colleagues asking, please, please, please answer your phone, because they're reporting the Amtrak derailing, and they're not saying which direction it's going, and we know you just checked in that you're going to be on the train. So, you know, I'm really going to be happy when the door slams on 2017, and I'm remaining very optimistic that 2018 is going to be a happy and light year. And one of the things that we're doing this year, with this being our final show of the year, is we have a wonderful guest. She's very light, and she's fun, and she has a very contagious laugh. And I had the opportunity to meet her when I was up at the MACTIC conference in September. I and 12 other people were on a pre-fam with Salmon Berry Tours, and one of the adventures they took us on was sailing over the Arctic. And I had the wonderful opportunity to meet this woman, and I really enjoy company with her. Her name is Kathy Hedges. She is the marketing coordinator, I would say the chief cook, bottle washer. If you need your picture taken, she'll take your picture. You want to make sure you're looking at the right place on the map. Essentially, she's the goddess of the Arctic, and she is with the Northern Alaska Tour Company. And we had a fabulous time. We have our little certificates documenting that we were officially over the Arctic. And we just got to talk to one another. You know how that is. I love to talk to people. Talked to her. She was there. Kathy was at the NACTIC convention. So we sat down. I sat behind her booth when things slowed down, because she's really easygoing. Like I said, she's got this contagious laugh. And we just kind of hung out, chatted, got to know each other. And then lo and behold, I roped her into being on our podcast. And this is her first time. So I'm very excited to introduce Kathy Hedges. And Kathy, tell us how you got involved with doing something like flying over the Arctic or being part of the Northern Alaska Tour Company. Tell us your story.
My story. Now, do you want it just when I joined Northern Alaska Tour Company, or how did I get into the travel industry?
Hello, that one.
Okay. Thank you for that generous introduction. Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here. In some ways, I stumbled into it. I am a lifelong Alaskan, and from Juneau, actually. My hometown is Juneau, down there in the capital city. And I pretty much knew when I went off to college that two things were somewhat in place at that point in time. I knew that I wanted to come back to Alaska. That was my home, but I was going outside to school. And at that time, my career of choice was actually physical therapy, nothing to do with tourism. But, of course, what paid my way through school was absolutely having summer jobs in Juneau in the travel industry and visitor industry. And unfortunately, my second goal did not come to fruition. It was at a time of change when you need to go into the master's, and unfortunately, bummer dude, I did not get into the master's program for physical therapy. So in the meantime, I needed to, once I graduated, I actually needed a job. And when I came back, I looked around and said, you know, this has already been a part of my life. Well, what's in the visitor industry that I can do year-round? And I was able to work for an organization called Southeast Alaska Tourism Council, which was fantastic, because what better job than to sell your backyard, someplace I grew up in. And so I did that for a few years, and I loved it, but I kind of wanted a challenge. What more challenging could be to try to learn something new about Alaska's Arctic? And I moved up to Fairbanks to work with the then Fairbanks Convention and Visitors Bureau as their marketing coordinator, and that was a fantastic introduction to Interior Alaska. So I know you got to see that, Lorene, of just the vastness that we have up here. It's not a little place, and getting out and experiencing the region, I was loving that change from Southeast, not because it's better, but because it's different. I had a guaranteed winter and a guaranteed summer, And I do love both seasons, and it's nice to have them separated. Burgess is kind of reigning in between the two. And 2000 came along, and these two guys at Northern Alaska Tour Company kind of said, Kathy, what are you doing for the rest of your life? And I said, well, right now, I'm just enjoying my life right now. But they said, well, how would you like to become a member of the Northern Alaska Tour Company team and start working with Alaska's Arctic? And I said, that would be a dream come true. So that's in a nutshell how I came to Northern Alaska Tour Company. And, you know, really, I can't imagine as far as, you know, yes, sometimes I look back of, yes, I could have gone into physical therapy. But the third aspect I didn't share with you is that I also wanted a job that either paid me enough that I could travel or had travel as part of its component. I love my hometown, but I always love to travel. And so now I get to talk with people traveling all the time. And so it's like the best of all worlds of being able to share that joy and talk with people about what they're planning to do and what they want to achieve and put that together for them and include the Alaska's Arctic because that's where we specialize. And yes, I'm the bottle washer, but I'm also that person that gets to go out front and talk to guests while they're waiting for their tour. And it's just to find out their story as well and what brought them up here. And, oh, well, what are you doing tomorrow? And talking to them about doing something else. And that's where we are today.
Which is totally awesome. And what I love that about the beginning of your career, what you wanted to do with therapy and massage therapy, was it?
No, physical therapy. Yeah.
What was that?
Physical therapy. So if you break your leg, I'd make sure you could walk straighter once it was fixed.
But you're a healer. And you brought that talent from that career into this career because people are nervous about being in planes. They don't get the concept. I still have the vision in my head where you were showing us the vastness, as you were saying, and you're a healer and a teacher. And you brought us, our group all together to be able to feel safe, to feel we were going into something that we understood and just not running around blind like a whole bunch of chickens running around. Just you were able to contain us. I have on my desk that great group shot that you took of us right in front of your sign. That's got Candace McDonald with her arms folded in front. Ed Davis is also doing their arms, and we were all together. And it became one of the highlights of this group of agents who had never been to Alaska before. And part of the reason that Candace and I worked on a group to bring them there is we wanted to affect their way of thinking, their life. And you were part of that. You were part of them going, aha, we get it. We get why people need to come up here. And, I want to thank you for that because you helped shift their perception of, oh, sure, I have a client calling in and they want to go to Alaska. Sure, I'll just put them down on a Inside Passage cruise out of Seattle. Hello. That's the jewelry run. This is seeing the land and seeing the culture and being part of it and looking at it. So do you feel like that's kind of what you do?
I do. And then actually, when you were actually providing your intro, I didn't realize, because one thing you didn't share is that, of course, the adventure you guys were planning to do was not the one you ended up doing. And now I realize with your history of travel mishaps, if you will, maybe it was the weather. Maybe it was you that were joining us on the tour that, if you recall, our flight to Coalfoot was canceled. And you went to Fort Yukon instead. That's part of the other part of it. It's like that's probably the worst part of the job is having to say something's canceled. You've traveled all this way. But now I know it's your fault. you know, having that working out that an alternate, you know, of like, okay, well, this is canceled, but here's what we can do and working with the guests. So that's part of it, too. I mean, hopefully you don't do that as much, but to be able to still come out with an experience, that adventure the discovery of the region that the guest is going into is absolutely a fun part of the job.
Exactly, exactly. And one of the things that I'm aware of, you know, when I talk with my clients, because I live on the West Coast, and I tend to sell a lot of Alaska and a lot of Hawaii. I mean, I send my clients to Africa and Thailand and Europe, in different places, but the majority of my sales are either the 49 or 50. That's what I pretty much call myself. I'm a 49 or 50 agent. People go, what? Hello, Alaska, Hawaii. Oh, yeah, okay, I get it. And they help educate them about the fact that the Inside Passage is way over here and the rest of Alaska is way up here. And, oh, you want to be part of the Arctic Circle? You really want to do that. You've come a long way, and you want to be able to have that on your bucket list. And can you describe both routes? I mean, you may have more than two, but I know that we did have it altered a little bit. But what would be, say, the normal experience for a client? Say, let's say you have a travel agent calling you going, I have a client who wants to do something completely different. How can you help me?
Okay, we say, fantastic. When are they traveling? Because the good news is there's something available year-round. And you know, we definitely do narrow it down if it's a day, an afternoon, multi-day. But I'll go ahead and just narrow it down that say they've answered that they've got one day to work with. They're trying to see as much as they can, but in a one-day trip. Then we have something called an Arctic Circle Fly Drive Adventure because you get the best of both worlds, fly and drive. So as you said, you know, many people have never gotten onto a small plane. I mean, for me, it was part of life. That's how you get around Southeast Alaska. But majority of the people in the world, you know, a thought of getting on a small plane is new. So there, the opportunity to get a small plane, everyone has a window seat, and you get to fly for an hour and 10 minutes and basically look out the window, and you're not going to see a McDonald's sign. You're not going to see I-5 and a series of, you know, runways and communities running into each other. You're going to see trees. You're going to see a river valley. So that's, you know, the part of that tour. And then, not only that, you've flown over it. Well, now travel by ground with a guide who's going to talk to you about, you know, what is this life like up here when it's 24 hours in the summertime, yet covered in snow 7 months of the year? You know, how does that work for any wildlife that's out here? How does that work for the vegetation? I see flowers in the summertime. Well, how are they growing when they don't get any sun in the wintertime? And getting out to be at the actual Arctic Circle sign, cross the only bridge on the Yukon River in the state of Alaska. That river starts over there in Canada, cuts our state in half, yet there's only one bridge. That's how big our state is and how vast it is and not populated, that you can actually be there at that one bridge. And just getting out, like you say, getting out and just smelling the fresh air, you know, getting out there and not seeing another soul when you stand on the side of the road, that would then be what I'd probably touch base and share with an agent to really get the most up for their guest. Then something you didn't mention, but it's kind of a stat that I'd like to throw out there, is that Alaska does see about 1.8 million visitors in the summertime. That's May through September. Fewer than 2% cross the Arctic. So talk about bragging rights, talk about joining a special club, is you've traveled so far to get up to someplace different is definitely a good something for an agent to know to be able to share with their guests that they're booking.
Oh, absolutely. And it's totally a bucket list item. I can tell you how many people have used their certificate, and you give us the certificate, you know, saying Arctic Circle. Because that's a bucket list item, and I know you had a couple different groups up there that weekend. You had our group, and then I believe you had the folks that were with Scott.
Yep.
Because I had a party at my house last week for some of our NACTA members, and one of them said, "I have this." Alex is a woman goes, I got mine when we were with Scott.
Yeah, ba-dee-da. Oh, yeah, you know, and then they're signed as well. They're dated, so you know that date that you crossed it. with everything else that you did. Absolutely. That's actually some of it, because we do have a few tours that don't cross the Arctic Circle, but that's, we go through what is it that you're looking to achieve, and sometimes like, I want that piece of paper. I want that certificate. So make sure you put me on an Arctic experience.
And you know, we're talking about things. I just looked at the date. Okay, Kathy, don't laugh. Mine's dated 9/11.
Yep. Yeah. But you were talking about something else, which is another thing that I think a travel agent brings to the table with a guest, because you were talking about it, that how big the state is, and somebody wants to come to Alaska, but they're trying to do it all in 1 week or 7 days. That we love this. You put Alaska imposed on top of the U.S., and Alaska stretches from Florida to California, Texas to Minnesota. Now granted, our weather doesn't match Florida or California, but that's how wide we stretch. And, a person with common sense would not try to do the United States in 7 days. And so that's the same thing that with education. It's like, somebody shouldn't try to do Alaska in 7 days either. They would make a multi, we are, a destination you can come back to a couple times. Concentrate on an area. Concentrate on Southeast Alaska, Inside Passage. Concentrate on the Arctic. And right now we're huge in the Aurora season. Focus on this for this time period. That's definitely what a travel agent can really help bring to the table, to realization for the guests, because when you're not traveling there, you don't realize how big it is here in Alaska.
And it's absolutely beautiful. And one of the things that's wonderful about the time situation, you get to focus. I bet your life is, I don't know, I could be wrong, so I shouldn't say I bet, but has your life slowed down a little bit because of the weather versus the light being available during the summer, and all the clients, have things just kind of slowed down a little bit for you?
Oh, actually they don't. they change. As far as personal, I get sluggish with the darkness. It's very easy to put your sweats on when you get home, but actually it does change around here, and it comes back to the I guess I was talking to Barry about it earlier, is just, it's the light in the Arctic specifically. We focus ourselves a lot around the light, and today happens to be the day we're recording this, is the 21st of December, and it's the solstice, which means for us northerners, we're going to start gaining daylight tomorrow. So everything's about light. And right now, it's also the aurora. And so we're in the holiday time period, and the northern lights have been pretty intense lately, that we've got a lot of holiday travelers coming looking for the light. So it's a change, though, because winter travelers do tend to stay put, versus our summer visitors do try to do, a couple days here, a couple days in Denali, a couple days in Anchorage. They're moving. It does have a different pace for the visitors, because they're not trying to fit it all in today. They call and say, I've got 5 days to work with. I've got 6 days to work with. So it's just, it's a different pace of life, and you're just focused on a different type of light this time of year. We might only have 3 hours and 40 minutes of daylight today, but that means we've got, my math is terrible, so that means we've got, 20 and a half hours of darkness to look for the northern lights.
It's all perspective.
It's all perspective, Lorene.
That's right. It's how you spin things.
Exactly.
Well, then let me ask you, is this the time of year that you, as the marketing person for your company, now are you on the road and travel and do trade shows? How do people hear about you?
Combination. There's definitely some road warriors more than myself, but it is. Yeah, it does tend to be, even though activity-wise for visitors, it's busy here in Interior. A lot of those, both travel agents, sales agents we're trying to reach, this is their downtime, getting things ready for, an upcoming summer season or winter. So it's a combination of, organizations, such as, NACTA or other trade associations. Of, they have meetings during the quote-unquote off-season. Just came back from a sales mission, Alaska sales mission in Australia and New Zealand, which by stats, Australia, believe it or not, is one of our overseas number one market for Alaska. So reaching those agents and tour operators on travel. And then just being able to spend more time on the phone from guests who have found us on the internet, both by web or searches. And one really important one is that we strongly support and encourage any business to participate in your local destination marketing organization. And so it's doing things with our local one, Explore Fairbanks, you know, and really supporting their marketing efforts as far as their new official 2018 visitors guide just came hot off the press, and we got that yesterday, so I've been going through that. You know, supporting those cooperative markets is how we work at getting the word out during the quote-unquote off-season.
Of course. And then, of course, I would assume, now this is assumption, but this is Lorene logic.
You're big on those assumptions, aren't you?
I know. And I even know what it means.
Good, I wasn't going to say it.
But you also work with travel suppliers. For example, if I had clients going up to Alaska and putting them on a land base, and I know they're going to be there somewhere between 5 and 7 days, because this is what I tell my clients, really. Now, it's a big state. You need either 5 to 7 days, if not more. I would work with Salmonberry Tours, who would book your adventure into the package that I'm working with my clients. So that way, it's kind of a win-win-win. Also, it must be a win-win because I learned about you through Canvas. So there you go. She must trust you.
Exactly.
And think that you...
I mean, exactly. And so, I think, you know, that's... Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, that's, you know, here, you know, definitely I keep mentioning how big the state is. But on the flip side of the coin, especially on the travel trade side, we're actually a small state as far as the number of us out there, as far as suppliers. You know, we're not endless, and definitely it's a great connection network of those of us out there supplier-wise of working together that, you know, as I mentioned, I just came back off the road, and there was 7 of us, I guess, and we're not in competition with each other. We're sharing, you know, because all of us will work together that – we definitely try to share. Call us. I know you're not going to be coming up to the Arctic, but you're sitting there scratching your head trying to figure out that a client wants to go do bear viewing, but it's actually in June, and you don't think anyone does it in June? Well, guess what? I know somebody who does bear watching in June down in Anchorage. So absolutely, I'm going to put you in touch with that person as somebody like you say, I trust. And if you're working with me, I'm not going to put you in touch with somebody that isn't going to do do well by you. And so that's where we're actually a small world of being able to work together as a different trade, you know, businesses.
Right. And it's my experience, and I am fully aware that Barry is on mute right now. But it's
so we
been
talk
my
all we
experience.
Want about him. Okay.
Exactly. It's been
I'm
my
here.
Experience.
Oh, we put that third out
anywhere.
There. Go ahead.
it's been my personal experience, and I only speak for this one person, but most of the people I have worked with in Alaska have been women. Of course, there are men. Of course, there's Scott from Explore Fairbanks, and of course, there's David, you know, from Bits and Anchorage. But overall, it seems to be predominantly women. And women tend to network well together. And like you're saying, you're not competitors. You are out there supporting one another with the best interest of the client. You want them to have a good experience, and you would refer them to someone that you feel that's going to provide that good experience, something that's trusting. If something goes on, that they'll be there to take care of it. For example, you know, whether prohibited our trip from doing what we were planning on doing. But what did you do? Just flipped it around, made changes, made it, you guys made it look so smooth. And like, oh yeah, you were always going on this one.
Yeah,
sure.
Never look behind the curtain. Never look behind the curtain.
Of all the people frantically changing and calling and asking.
We're going to make this work. You know, I guess, I mean, that you talk about that there's quite a few of us, the women in there, and you know, I guess I never really given it much thought, but everything you just said does make sense of what qualities tend to be stereotypical of, you know, women of yeah, it's, you know, it's not just a business of making a sale. I mean, one of the things we even share here at our office for our reservations training is that you absolutely do not just take an order. You know, someone calls, you don't just take an order. You know, find out to make sure this is even a right fit for them, because that's the last thing we want to do is just take an order and book somebody on something that isn't actually what they're looking and hoping to do. But that probably is more widespread that when, you know, you just mentioned, you know, Salmonberry Tours and us, and just a lot of the businesses that I know that I work with and Salmonberry works with, I think that is their, you know, without knowing, again, the assumption. I'll just join you in with the assumption situation here. You know, assuming that it's, you know, we use a tagline, we're sharing Alaska's Arctic. I think a lot of the smaller companies that are definitely Alaska-based and owned and operated, that's what it was, you know, that's what it kind of is about. It's not just a business, but it's our backyard. It's our, you know, it's us that we're sharing out there, that the last thing we want you to do is hate us. We don't want you to hate you. We're going to book you on something you're going to like, not something you're going to hate.
Right. Well, and one of the things that I noticed, because I have been working and selling Alaska a lot, is even when people kind of change positions, they still all work well together. They don't burn bridges. A perfect example is, as I'd mentioned, I knew Tanya Hancock, and she changed her position within the company. And then I started working with Jody Overstreet, who it's now has her own photography business. And guess what? She works with Salmonberry Tours and Visit Anchorage a lot. And there's Tia, who, you know, now works with Visit Anchorage. So they just happen to be examples of women that I know in the industry, but they all still connect together and work together. And have the best interests of the client to have a very good experience, because you want them to come back. You want them to go, isn't this a wonderful place, when you like to come back for even longer next time? Come visit Anchorage. It's open all year round.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, again, I mean, it's just nothing, you know, just like I talked about the cancellation, I mean, that's the worst part of the job, of having to go break somebody's heart that they traveled all the way. But to then make it better and make it right, or even if everything actually goes well, which that does happen, of just the fun that they share. You know, I mean, like you say, that group picture that we took out front. You know, I mean, just when you see people laughing when they're getting off the plane, or, you know, we have one tour that's an all-by ground, and so covering 400 miles in a day is not a short tour, yet they're still laughing and talking when they get off of that coach after 16 hours. You know, it's like, fantastic. That worked well.
And everybody's exhausted.
Exactly. As you should be on vacation, doggone it. Get out there and do some more. Remember our summer hours, you know, summer we have 24 hours, so you got to be busy the whole time.
That's right. Keep busy. And, you know, the area, I'm just using Fairbanks because that's one of the northern towns, you know, that people stay. I have some of the most unusual things there. There's this really good Cuban restaurant.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
But please, this wonderful jazz music. I'm like, what? Can you talk about, you know, polar opposites, you know, from where you would think it would be? But it has such great little finds up there that if you are only, you know, looking at having your vacation on a ship, you miss the entire experience. And trust me, I sell cruise lines all the time, but I also speak to my clients about, you know, this is kind of your starter teaser. I want you to actually see the land. I want, and so that I show them the picture of literally, this is where the cruise line goes, right? It shows inside passage. Oh, and this is where I send you guys when you're on land. And they're like, what?
Whoa. So, no, I mean, and absolutely, because, you know, I've taken a cruise. I mean, cruises are fantastic. You're absolutely right. There is a great introduction for them. There's a great different style. You travel differently when you're on a cruise, so absolutely there's a place for it. But it's a great way to get yourself here, get yourself on the land, and do that extension. afterwards is yes, and it's doable. That's the other thing, working with an agent is, a guest, even though we're not foreign, we're the state, we're part of the United States, we're a long ways away from most everybody else, that you can absolutely appreciate that it's kind of like a daunting task of thinking, well, get off the ship in Anchorage, now what? That the agent can bring to the table that there is something to do. Like you have that little niche now. You know about that, that Cuban restaurant. Those are the things that the agent's going to be able to find out. Or the Thai restaurants we have here. It's like, did you know that we have really good Thai? And how far away are we from Thailand? Or, we've got a couple great homemade ice cream places. So you're out there going on your, morning riverboat tour or something like that. It's like, hey, take a stop. You're right next, around the corner when you're driving between one spot to the other. Stop by Hot Licks and have some ice cream before you go up to the museum. Those little gems.
Right. Which people don't know about, which is why they trust travel agents. That's why I work with, tour operators and companies like you to be able to go, hey, I want my clients to have the best possible experience. I'm trusting my clients in your hands. And speaking of that, how, for the listeners and the travel agents who are listening to this, how do they reach you and how do they work with you? Because now that, I've fluffed you up, do you feel like a fluffed up poodle now?
I see. Oh, I do, yes. I do. Okay, well, how do they get a hold of us? Is that, of course, with modern technology, we are online. And so it would be email adventure, at northernalaska.com. So those are all three words, all spelled out, adventure at northernalaska.com. And I like to say you can reach us there 24 hours, but please be aware we're not on 24 hours. But no matter what time it is, wherever that travel agent is working, you can definitely send us and drop us a line. But also telephone. We've got the main line, 907-474-8600, or yes, for all our listeners in the United States, a toll-free number, 800-474-1986. And anyone, but we'd like to say anyone in reservations can help out. Absolutely. If it's, of course, a travel agent, give us a call. But definitely identify yourself early on in the conversation, because we definitely work with you and want to make sure we put in all your agency details into the reservation for your clients. And absolutely don't hesitate. You're making the reservation for us for an Arctic Circle experience, but don't hesitate to say, well, they're going to be in Fairbanks for 2 days. What else? Or they're celebrating their anniversary. Where would you go for an anniversary, dinner celebration? Or they're bringing, it's a multi-generational family that's coming. It's like, okay, what, they're doing this tour on this day because it's what the husband wants to do, but what do you have in mind for what would keep the grandkids happy? It's a 5-year-old and a 12-year-old. Definitely don't hesitate to ask that.
Excellent. Hey, Barry, can you take yourself off mute now? I know you always have good questions.
Here, and our little Yorkie Gidget is here too. So she's wanting something. I'm not sure what it is, but you'll hear her. But I'm down here in South Florida, and there's a lot of people down here that have never even seen snow. But I could see a travel agent, trying to entice people down here to have a whole new experience. But what would they tell their clients in terms of what they would need to prepare for if they're coming from, say, down here in the subtropics up to the Arctic Circle?
Ooh, that's a good one, because, yes, absolutely, somebody coming from that part of the world up here in the wintertime. Definitely, and you hear this part of this answer, you hear no matter what time of year you travel, and that's the ever-important layers. So layers is key. And I usually first start with somebody of just asking, one, if they've ever gone skiing, which I know is not common. So it's not always a yes from somebody from Southern California or Southern Florida. But so if someone has said, yes, I go skiing or I've gone skiing, that gives them a frame of mind. If their answer was yes, it's like, okay, you've got a starting point. Pretty much that which you wear for skiing is what you would, just because it's the Arctic, it's actually then the same. There's something there as well that you're just not making a connection. But then the answer is no. I don't go skiing. I've not gone skiing. The one thing that someone will need to invest in that you're not going to have in your closet is what's called thermal underwear, long underwear. That start with that base layer. But then you can wear your jeans that you have at home, your slacks that you have at home, your pants you have at home. Shirts, believe it or not, you probably, we dress for not for fashion, but for function. So in your closet, you probably have three layers of clothes that you would never wear at the same time in South Florida, but wear them at the same time here in Alaska. So start with that T-shirt layer, then maybe a button shirt or pullover shirt, and then a sweater sweatshirt layer. And then after that, yes, if you're coming now, so I'm talking December, January, February, or March, and you're looking to stand outside and look for the Northern Lights, you will probably want to purchase in a pair of snow pants and a snow jacket. That does not mean you have to spend $1,000. I definitely will look online every once in a while just to see to speak correctly. You know, you can find snow pants and snow jackets in the $50 range. And so that's, if you're coming for 7 days, you know, divide that out with 7 days is a pretty good use of that clothing. Layers, layers, and layers. You have that in your closet, Barry?
I do. Actually, I'm from Michigan. We spend about half the year down
there
here in
you
Florida
go,
and the other half in Michigan. But I grew up in a pretty harsh climate, so I understand.
Yeah, another, you know, the other one is just pretty straightforward is, you know, having a pair of mittens and a hat and scarf. Again, low purchase items to get, which I say similar to, like, okay, you're talking to an Alaskan. I need stuff for Florida. So, you know, it's, you know, making sure that I'm, you know, I bring my swimsuit, I bring my shorts. Sometimes you do have to make a few purchases to fit in where you're going because, I don't regularly have flip-flops, but I do go to Hawaii occasionally and I need to purchase things for my trip. So those are
right.
The sort of things you need to, if you're going to come north, then, yep, those are the smaller items that you also need to purchase, the hat, the gloves, the scarf.
Okay. Yeah, great.
See, he always has that little nugget question. Oh, what do you wear? Huh?
Well, I just remembered is that a good source for that, there's actually something really fun on the Explore Fairbanks website. They actually have a video of Dress for Winter. And so that's, again, our local destination marketing organization, Explore Fairbanks, on their website is Dress for Winter. And it's a really kind of fun little video that talks about if it's 20 degrees out, wear this. And they kind of show this. It's a real person kind of layering up what clothing. It's like, but if it gets down to zero, put this on. So that's at explorefairbanks.com. That can be kind of a fun thing for people to look at.
Right.
Oh, yeah, this sounds like a great video.
So, Barry, you might want to put that on the notes.
I will. I'll put that in the show notes. Yeah, I'll find that video and put it on on the show notes.
Gail and I were there to watch the beginning of the Yukon Quest a couple of years ago, which is totally awesome. Totally, totally, totally awesome. Oh, my God. It was 43 below. And I was not
and you survived.
I mean, we have a picture put, you know, over at the university with the big sign that's, you know, digital, what the weather is. I'm like, what the heck? You know?
And there at minus 40, you might be a little chilly. Hopefully comfortable. But, yeah, that one can be a hard one to have all the layers necessary. Even I get cold at minus 40.
Right. And they were going, no, it really is cold. Because we're like, why do those people have a cord coming out of their truck on the engine when they park? You know, I mean, and it's people adapt to it. People live there. They're used to it. It's not like that all year round. I mean, I always have clients, you know, ah, it's so cold in Alaska. Well, actually, during the summer, I was there and look, here's some pictures said 80 in Fairbanks. You know, I mean, it was so... You know, yeah, this is the dead of winter. So it's
and
cold.
And it's also dry. And it's also a dry cold. It's a dry cold, which means it doesn't go through you like the wet, damp cold does.
Correct.
Because I'm from Juneau, which is quite south of Fairbanks. And I will actually, when I go home for the holidays, I will be colder down there and put another layer on when I go down there for the moist cold that we don't get here. So there is a difference.
I also had the honor of going to see the beginning, the media beginning, quote, you know, little air quotes, of the Iditarod launch, which we all know everybody brings their camera out. They bring out the snow and they take the pictures and then they pack all the dogs up and go to Wasilla. But it was 25 degrees. So, you know, when people say, oh, it's so cold. Well, look, here's a picture. I happen to have had a picture of the sign that had the date and 25 degrees. They go, where do you live? Colorado. How cold is it? Oh, okay, I get it. I go, this is March. This is dead of winter, 25 in Anchorage. Oh, it's doable.
Exactly. It is doable.
Well, do you have anything else you would like us to have before we close out? I think you've done a really good job. And can you believe it's like the first time you've done a podcast?
No, I can't believe it.
You might want to do one again.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay, great. Yes, go ahead and put me down. Yes, I'll do it again. It wasn't so scary. Not as scary as I thought.
Well, and for the listeners who don't know the backstory, when I was at the NACTA conference in Anchorage this summer, Kathy and I were talking. I go, you know, I would love to have you on our podcast. I think this is a great idea. I loved what you did. And she's like, yeah, right. Mm-hmm, yeah. I'm like, no, really. I think it'd be great. Don't worry. You know, we'll make you feel comfortable. Yeah, okay. So a couple months later, I call the office, and I don't know if Kathy remembers me. And I totally heard the person talking to her. And she's like, just give her the generic email.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I remembered you.
Oh, yeah. But have her do the generic. She's like, oh, yeah, I remember you. And months later, here we are, including Michelle Glass mentioning it to her while they were out of the country. Don't worry, Lorene doesn't bite. And here we are. How awesome is this?
Absolutely. No problem.
And Barry's the best. If you ever get punted to someone like Barry, you want them to get punted to him.
Okay. Well, when he's on mute, he's great. Oh, there he is. There he is.
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, here I am.
So Barry, do you have any closing remarks you would like to add, or shall we have you give your information also?
I don't have any closing remarks, but if people want to locate me, they can find me at facebook.com/HBTAS, and those are the initials for the Home Based Travel Agent Show. And you can email me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net, and those are two of the ways that you can get hold of me. We love to hear from our listeners. And Lorene, how about you?
The easiest way to reach me is email, and it's sharptongued@mac.com, and that's spelled sharptongued at mac.com, because my business name is Sharp Tongue Consulting. I have two Facebook pages. I have the regular old everyday old Lorene, hello, that would be me, which is the more friendly used one. It's Lorene R, L-O-R-E-N-E-R, it's Facebook. And then you can always go to Sharp Tongue Consulting, my other Facebook page, which deals only with destinations and sort of things. There isn't the, oh, look, annoying Lorene again. Yeah, it's good. I really want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Boxing Day, and personally, the way this year has gone, I can't wait for the door to slam on 2017. and have a whole bunch of hope and aspiration that when the door opens to 2018, it will be much lighter and peaceful for everybody. We're all kind of happy this is year's coming to a close, and I have all confidence that it will be a pleasant new year for everybody. So I want to thank you, Kathy, for being on the show. I want to thank Barry for being the best co-host ever, easy to work with, and very charming and professional.
Wow, thank you. Okay, so we will wrap it up here. Thank you, Kathy. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Well, thank you, Laureen, and thank you, Kathy, for being a part of our show, and what a great and informative show it has been. And we hope that as listeners, you've all enjoyed the information about the Arctic Circle and how you can send your clients off to see the aurora or up to see the beauty of northern Alaska in the summertime. And remember, it doesn't have to be the summertime. It can be any time of the year. They're always going up there. Well, I want to let you all know that Laureen or I take no compensation for doing this show. Our guests are here because we feel that they have an interesting topic for you, the travel agent, or someone who's interested in the travel business. So we take no compensation. The show is funded entirely out of our own pockets. And if you want to pay back, well, do that. You can pay us back by going to iTunes and leaving us a positive review, and we really appreciate that. Well, we'll be back with you next month with another show, and we hope to have you join us then. In the meantime, stay healthy and have safe travels, everyone. Bye-bye now.